Okay, we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Here.
Here.
Yes.
Here.
Here. And if you will join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Okay, I would move we amend the agenda to add new section 10, business continued, with the following items. 10A, report. And do I need to read it all?
No, okay. You can just
okay. 10A, B, C, and D. And then changing the mayor council announcement to section 11 and adjournment to section 12.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to amend the agenda to add a new section 10, and then 10A, B, C, and D, and moving mayor council announcements to section 11 and adjournment section 12. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Next item is the consent agenda. Is there any questions or comments or anything you want to pull for discussion?
You good, Rich?
I'm fine.
Okay. Then I would move we approve the consent agenda as published.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda as published. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Item 6A, Ledgestone South case. Number 20-01-AN, annexation 2003-S, preliminary plat. Public hearing continued from October 2020. The consideration to approve the findings of facts and conclusions of law and close the public hearing. Jace Hellman, did you have anything you wanted to add to that, or council have any questions on that one? Thank you. So the findings of fact, item one, is the one before you at this moment. So if there's no other discussion, a motion would be in order for that.
Stand up.
Well, we're doing the findings of facts. We're going to do the reconsideration after that. Go ahead, Bill.
Mr. Mayor, is this on? Is it? There. Is Alan was on?
Doesn't sound like.
My name is Bill Gatewright, City Attorney for the City of Kuna, and this was continued by the council as you took a deliberation action at the last meeting to deny the annexation request.
Okay.
I think this is the first order today.
That would be my understanding, yes. So other than taking testimony on the request for a reconsideration, we would not take further testimony on it tonight because the public has not been informed that there is going to be more testimony. So beyond the fact of a request for a reconsideration, that would be all the testimony we would take for tonight. Is that correct?
That's fine. That would be my recommendation, and that way they have an opportunity to address the question, and you can decide whether you want to get into it or not. And if you do, then I would say continue the hearing to a time certain, and then I announce what issues you're going to take more testimony on in relation to the reconsideration so everybody is aware that you are reconsidering it, because when everybody left at the last hearing, the action was that you were in deliberation to close the record of the proceedings for additional testimony and evidence. And so everyone was on notice, yes, the hearings continue, but it's only to receive findings, which is an action you put on your own. But if you decide you can listen to what they want you to do on the consideration and say, well, there's some merit because I think you should reconsider it, then I think you would then open the hearing back up again for more testimony and information and support or opposition or consideration, and then I'll continue it for the next hearing date so that everyone is aware that's what you're doing, and they have an opportunity to prepare themselves, and they have a chance to look at the motion for consideration so they can address that as well.
However, that would be a new public hearing. We will be, if we approve item number one, we're going to close the public hearing for the first round, right?
If you approve the findings, then you take it up again. If you decide you don't want to do that and renotice it, then I will take up the reconsideration now. The only decision you make is, yes, we will reconsider if we open, or no, we're not going to reconsider it, and we go and we proceed to adopt the findings that are before you. I think you do it. In either event, it's not a statutory requirement. Reconsiderations are appropriate through the LUPA governed, that is, the Local Land Use Planning Act, permits, rezones, conditional use permits, subject all the things under the LUPA law, but annexation law is not in the same group of statutes. It's in the municipal code, and it is associated with reconsideration. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do it. If I'm just saying you're not in the same statutory mandate that you are, that this involves in this permit.
Well, my preference would be to finish out item one, and then if council does choose to reconsider, that we would repost so that the public knows that that's coming up, so that we're not doing something that people have left the meeting here thinking is over and now it's not.
Correct, and I think that's a very appropriate procedure. I think that's when we did that.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Any other questions?
No, thanks, Bill.
All right. So item one, consideration to approve findings of fact, conclusions of law, and close the public hearing is the first motion, unless council has a different preference.
Nothing? I would then move we approve the findings of fact and conclusion of law and close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and close the public hearing in the matter of Ledgestone South case numbers 20-01-AN annexation and 20-3-S preliminary plat, continued from October 20. Is there any further discussion?
Mayor?
Yes.
If I could have the floor, since I was absent last meeting, I'd like to abstain since I wasn't here in the discussion.
Okay. All right, any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Is anyone opposed? That motion carries. Now, consideration to reconsider denial of case number 20-01-AM. And in the packet, there is a letter on behalf of Trilogy Development from Jane Suggs, which is entered into evidence here. If everyone's had a chance to review that, if you would like, Jane is here, if you would like to ask any questions. I think in my mind this had a lot to do with the wastewater treatment and the ability to serve, and I think there are still many questions there. I know that they're offering to do what they need in order to assist the city with water, with the sewer and that infrastructure. However, we don't really know what that is at this point, so. In my mind, at this point, there's really nothing to reconsider, but it, of course, is respectfully up to council to make that determination.
Mayor, if I can.
Yeah.
I'm of pretty much the same opinion. I think until we get a better grasp on exactly what our plan is moving forward with the removal of wastewater from a new area or an addition to a current subdivision, we put the brakes on and just wait till we get all that figured out and can move forward so that when they get it developed and they can receive their will serve letter, they're not waiting on us and holding up progress in that aspect. So that's where I stand.
Okay.
I got nothing further to add to that because I think we're all through, I'm on the same page as you are. So.
Jane would probably like to say something, so if council is okay with that, we'll go ahead and let her come up and present.
She wasn't jumping, waving her arms, so I say no.
Yes, you may have the floor.
Since our meeting, we have received an email as well.
really want to play with you on that and then partner with you on that. So we very respectfully request that you might consider that, set a date, let us bring at least set a date for a reconsideration, let us bring that information. At that time, you can decide if the reconsideration is valid, but at least set a time that we might be able to present our information to you.
Okay. Question for Greg?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So I think the main issue that we have is that there's been a bit of development. Apparently, the original thought on the developments was based on infrastructure size, was based on 3.5 homes per acre. And some of these developments have been exceeding that greatly. So what we have to do is, our engineer has already put out for some fact-finding from an outside source to see what we need to do to make that work, or if we can make that work. So at this point, it's a few weeks out probably before that will be done. And that's what we're working with right now. So we're not real sure what it's going to take to serve that and what capacities would be at that. So yes.
Mr. Mayor, Bill Gigray, city attorney, for your consideration, and this is procedural. Listening to what has been presented in support of the motion for reconsideration and then listening to your discussion, an option might be that you could offer a reconsideration subject to this matter being remanded back to staff, and that any rescheduling and reconsideration of a public hearing would only be when staff was prepared to make a resubmittal of this application with the additional information needed in regards to the capacity to sewer this development and any other associated things, when they felt this was definitive enough that they could include in any conditions of approval sufficient conditions that would assure that this project can be served by city services, which would mean that the applicant would retain their application date for purposes of their rights under our code. And then that would facilitate what you've considered, that it wouldn't be back for a hearing until it was ready to go and there was a complete staff report that the staff was comfortable with. And so then that would be subject to their scheduling it and then completely re-noticing it, subject to the cost, I would think, of the applicant, since this is their request, if you choose that route. Or you can just let it stand as it is, and then they will be under the ordinance requirements about when they could reapply, if they would, sometime in the future. I think you could go either way.
In order for them to reapply, since it was denied at this point, that would mean a substantial rewrite of the project. Is that correct?
I think it's a time period, too, because I think that if you got a denial, aren't you out? And Jace could probably answer that question under our ordinance, but I think it's like a year or something of which they're delayed. And so they would have to reapply, and then their rights would accrue at the time they reapplied. On the other hand, if there's merit in what is being asked here on the part of the applicant, and it really is an infrastructure issue, I would say that from the standpoint of the city, if it were remanded back to planning and zoning, and I would defer to Jace since he staffed this, Hellman, on behalf of P&Z, that you would want to have defined that on a reconsideration that those issues be addressed specifically with the staff's determination in their staff report that, A, no, we can't have sufficient assurances and conditions, and it be resubmitted and a recommendation that the annexation be denied on those places, or they determine in a restaffing of this that, yes, they can impose conditions that they're comfortable with and recommend that the project and the application be approved and it not be re-noticed till they've reached that determination. So that means hopefully that you got a staff report that's complete with recommendations that staff is comfortable about with, and we don't end up in a hearing where we have incomplete information, you're still not comfortable, staff isn't comfortable, and we just keep continuing it. So, and then I think you would have to decide at that point. If you choose to go that way, I would suggest that you would call the representative of the applicant as to whether they would agree to that, because I think at this point you've got a final determination on the denial of annexation, so any timetable that we have under our ordinance has been met, so we're safe on that standpoint. But if it's remanded to staff and kept open for reconsideration, I'd want to make sure they weren't going to complain about any timetable. I don't know why they would, but it seems to me that that would be a way of approaching the reconsideration consideration if there's any merit in it.
Okay. Thank you. What does council wish?
Mayor, if I can.
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Mr. Gugre, I really appreciate you letting us know all that. I have to look at this scenario and think to myself that, you know, there's the infrastructure clearly is the primary concern we had with annexing this, but when it comes to continually approving something for a future set date just to hold their place in line, I can't continue to say that's a great idea, because this is going to cause a backup if things can't get taken care of. So when we deny an annexation, it's for good cause at that given point in time. So I would struggle saying, let's go ahead, let's reconsider just to set a future date so we can get more facts from staff and more ideas from staff. Those are things moving forward, or at the beginning, should be presented to us anyways. So that's just my thought on that.
Okay, thank you. Richard?
I disagree, Warren. I think there should be some kind of priority order that these people are rejected, that they're allowed to get back in line. It's a prerogative that they have. If they don't want to reapply, they forfeit their place in line, so to speak. But we're going to open this, I think, wide open. If we don't give some priority to anything we reject as they come back to us.
Yeah, no, you know, Richard, I can agree to that concept. The concern I have, though, is we're presented the facts to these individual annexations or the preliminary plats, whatever they may be, at a given point in time. And we're supposed to make a decision based on those facts. But what you're saying is, nope, let's go ahead and approve everything before a final plat, because we can put an entire list of conditions in for the final plat presentation to us. I mean, I do understand what you're saying. I just, at some point, we're going to have a backlog of everything with a buildup of finding of facts and findings of each case. When we're presented with all those facts up front. And because what we're saying is, let's go ahead and approve everything so they can hold their place in line moving down the road. And I'm concerned with, if something's presented to us and we're just not ready, at what point do we stop that procedure?
I'm gonna let council debate for a bit, please.
I'm not sure that was the point I was trying to make, Warren. I think we've denied it, and there should be our denial is based on the inadequacy of the city. It has nothing to do with the developer at this time as turning them down. If we don't give some priority to these developers as we deny them, then when we open the lift stations and the wastewater treatment plant back open, if there isn't some seniority that we have placed on denials, then I think we'll be opening ourselves to litigation because of the fight as to priorities for those EDUs that are becoming available. So by allowing some kind of priority of denial, I think we're going to, well, I guess I should address that to you more than Warren, Bill, but if we don't allow priorities and denials, how are you going to have a orderly distribution of those EDUs in the wastewater treatment plant and waste, the pivot plants or the lift stations, I'm sorry.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, with your permission, Mr. Mayor, Councilman Cardoza, in this instance, this property is not in the city limits. It's being annexed, so I'm not worried about that issue.
Okay.
I think this is, in my mind, the only issue and clarification for the agent representing the applicant would be if you did suspend your approval of the findings which denied the annexation, then we might get into a timetable issue with some of these permits, and I'd want to make sure they would agree that they're not going, that they would waive any right they may have, if they have any, in that regard. My thought was, if it went back to staff, this has been narrowed down to a specific issue, you're not committing to anything. The hearing would still be open. You haven't approved anything at this point. They're staffing it. They're going to come back at some point and say, we've gone as far as we can with this in terms of our investigation and our recommendations and analysis, and we're prepared to make a recommendation to the city council. Then they would notice it. And then it would be reheard, everybody'd be aware, and have an opportunity to address the issue of the new staff report, and then you would again go through this to determine whether you were going to, A, grant annexation or deny annexation. You're going to zone it if you grant annexation, and then there'd be the issue of the approval of the preliminary plat. And at that point in time would be when they would get in line with regards to if there was a will serve or not a will serve based on whatever the staff report was. So in terms of your original question here, I don't see that as a liability issue if you just stay with your own opinion, with your own decision as it is now, because they're not in the city.
So once we have the capacity and the capability, there to be no priority, whoever happened to have something in front of us would get approved because we have the capacity at that time.
Yeah, the ones that are that your plats who have already been approved would be ahead of it.
Right.
Yes.
But everybody else that we've denied would have no priority. If somebody comes in 4 months from now and we deny their plat due to insufficient capacity, they could possibly be in line first before somebody 4 months prior if there's no priority set for denial.
Mr. Mayor, with your permission.
Yes.
Councilman Cardoza, the process that I believe the staff is following, I've recommended and you've in fact approved that we're following now, is that when they're already annexed into the city, they apply for a preliminary plat. And we're not talking short plats here. We're talking full. And a preliminary plat is approved subject to conditions. When we have a will serve issue with any of the parcels that are in the plat, your policy, or at least I would say the direction we've followed, and I think we have another one of these this evening later, is that one of the conditions of preliminary plat approval is that they are not eligible to file for a final plat until the public works director certifies that you can serve all the lots that are subject to that preliminary plat condition. And At that point, then they can file for the final plat, and that's when they actually put in all of the infrastructure and the improvements, and they get it ready for final plat and approval, and then they can sell the lots. And we also include in a condition that in the event that certification doesn't come about in the two-year time period when they have to file for a final plat, that they have reason to request an extension of the 2 years, which you can do under your city code. So that's when they get in line, which I think is your original question.
Okay.
So until a preliminary plat has been approved, they already have to be annexed in the city. They're not in line. And so in this instance, when you've got a denial, if you suspend the denial on the request for reconsideration and it goes back to staffing, it doesn't come back before you, at least as I see it, until staff's ready to make a complete recommendation on this so these questions are answered. It just sits there. And then if you, on reconsideration, should grant annexation and a preliminary plat, at that point in time, they would be in line. And but yet they don't get a final plat until you got a will serve, and the Public Works Department is going to know who's in line and in what place, and they're not going to certify that there's a ability to serve it until they are aware there is that ability to serve, and everybody ahead of them is already serviced, and they take that into consideration. And that's how we're processing them at this point in time.
So in my mind, the question before us is, do we let them basically put this on hold right now so that they can come back after staff has had a chance to make some changes to provide information that would indicate that we can provide service at some point in the future, or do we deny it, and then when they come back again, if they come back again, it would be a substantially different project. We would then be asking them to completely redesign what it is that they brought forth in the first place because it was denied. So, and then that would be a year from now before that could even happen. So I think the question is, do we allow them to, in essence, table it, let staff go back and look at it, let the engineer process and review happen so that we can see whether or not we can make the infrastructure work to serve the project, or, I mean, it might have to be changed substantially anyway, I don't know, but I think that's a question rather than anybody being in line to save EDUs. I mean, we have a lot of capacity out at the wastewater treatment plant, so I don't think that's going to be a problem. The capacity issue is more line size and that type of thing, lift stations and those types of things. So I think the question is whether or not we let staff take it back, look at it some more, and see if there's some way they can come up with a reasonable fix for it, or if we make them start completely over after a year.
Thank you, Bill.
What are your thoughts, Greg?
Well, as you know, it's kind of, it's not our fault, but it's kind of our fault we can't serve them in a sense. We don't have the ability to service the sewer at that location due to probably no one in the last 10 years ever saw development going that way, especially as quick as it did. So, I mean, they've put a lot of effort into this and resources and, you know, done their homework with public meetings and neighborhood meetings and all that. And we have the two options. I agree, you know, we can deny it, kick it back, or we table it to a date certain, as I believe Mr. Gibray said, to let
I don't think we have to have a date certain. We just table, remand it back to staff.
So remand it back to staff.
Re-advertise it.
And go that route. And I guess I would be inclined to do that as opposed to making them start all over. I mean, they've done their due diligence, and we can't
service, so to speak. I don't know. I understand Mr. Cardozo's side of, you know, the prioritizing. I also kind of see Councilman Christensen's side of it, so I'm not sure which way to throw the ball there, but I would not be opposed to tabling it till this infrastructure relooks done and see what we can actually do or not. I do have one question, and it might be towards Jace, or maybe you can answer it. You said if we deny it completely, they have to significantly change the development. Was that correct?
I believe that's the case. Jace, do you know on that, or Troy, maybe? Bill, go ahead.
It's my understanding under the ordinance, I mean, that's going to be up to the applicant whether they change the application or not. The issue is they're prohibited from filing the application, I believe, for 1 year. And so they could decide to change it, but whether they changed anything in their app or not would be up to them. But Troy's up there, so I think he probably can answer the question.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Okay.
But changing it, that's up to the applicant.
Okay, so then basically the only thing we're deciding on tonight is whether we're going to make them wait a whole year or not.
Thank you, Troy.
I mean, that would be...
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, yeah, I think procedurally, A, you could deny the request for any reconsideration at this point, and then the findings that you've made and the decision, the denial of annexation stands. And this matter's over. Or B, if you decide to grant a reconsideration in this instance, I think you'd want to clarify with the applicant that they would waive, as a condition of reconsideration, any possible right they might have with regards to the timing of any decision on their application, so that we don't get into some issues there, because you've acted. And so you're, as an accommodation, reopening it. And then it's my. Then you would, I think, suspend the decision of the approval of the FCOs, and then it would remand to planning and zoning, and with the direction that they restaff this. Your major concern, of course, is the ability to serve this area with sewer, and that until they're ready with a final staff report and recommendation in regards to the main issue of concern, this matter stays with them, and that they have the authority to then place with the clerk this matter on reconsideration by the council, since that's the body that's before now, so it doesn't have to go back to planning and zoning, and that the hearing be renoticed if you go that route.
Yes, Chris.
And I just want, Chris Ingles for the record, I just wanted to understand procedurally. If the reconsideration is denied tonight, are they able to file another reconsideration of the denial in, say, 2 months or 3 months? Is there anything that prohibits that? Just for procedural, so I understood.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, in my mind, you can never stop somebody from filing something. In my opinion, as I've told you, and my opinion clearly is that for an annexation, there's no right of reconsideration. There's no legal right to it. So you could determine whether you're going to put it on the agenda or not. And I think the clerk always confers with the mayor in regards to that. And you could put it on the agenda for denial. At that point, it would just seem to me to be kind of silly at that point. But people can file things. But if you deny this request for annexation, you've already approved the findings and the denial of annexation. So that's done. The action's complete. And until that's undone, they're on a one-year suspension. Well, not a suspension. They just can't file an application for and reapply because of our ordinance, which makes sense because otherwise you'd just be regurgitating the same thing over and over again.
So are we even deciding anything then at this point? I mean, if you're saying that now it's going to be a year before they can bring it back, they can do that anyway.
Well, yeah, but if you decide to reconsider and suspend the findings that you've just approved, so that then they're on the same track they're on, it's just that this would not be reheard until staff was ready to totally restaff it and come back, and then it'd be re-noticed.
That makes sense.
Mayor, if I
say
something real quick. This is, you know, I definitely am empathetic to the situation here, and I feel like we made the decision to deny it. We approved the denial tonight. If we decide to reconsider this case and just leave it open-ended to say until staff can figure it out and present something new, you know, then we can look at another approval or denial in that case. This opens the door to any denial we ever do on an annexation for any reason whatsoever. I feel like maybe Richard looks at it like it's the city's fault, but when it comes down to it, this opens the door to an annexation denial in the future for everyone to ask for a reconsideration based on the standard we're setting tonight, based on someone else. Okay, let's just hold it and actually send it back so they can think of a better idea. You're almost opening the door to setting that standard for the city and just saying, let's reconsider this, let's give it back and have them come up with new ideas. And that in my view, that's a dangerous kind of standard you're setting. So.
Okay.
Rebuttal time?
Sure.
What I'm looking at, Warren, is if we deny and they have to wait a year to come back, we get our lift stations up to capacity in 3 months. Anybody coming before us is going to be annexed and allowed to develop, yet this developer tonight has to wait a year, if I understand Troy. Is that what you said, Troy? To reapply, they have to wait a year?
Yeah, correct. That is correct.
So if there's not some kind of priority, we're going to be fixing the problem and annexing new development, and those that came to us and were denied are not going to be able to develop. In fairness, and you were right, I believe it's a fault of the city, not the developer, although maybe years ago the city should have anticipated the growth when it started. And I don't want to point fingers at the city, but it seems to be a city fault that we're underdeveloped on our lift stations. Should we punish developers coming before us until we solve the problem, and then we start opening the door to everybody else, and they can't apply because they have a year's waiting? That's why I feel there should be some priority, but according to Bill, you can't do that. So I don't know, to be fair to developers out there who are willing to work with us, how do you be fair to both sides?
Right, and I completely understand what you're saying. It makes sense to me what you're saying, but I have to look at the bigger picture in that if it's city's fault, if it's ACHD's fault, if it's the school's fault, if it's XYZ's fault, it's never going to be the developer's fault. And that's just the unfortunate way of life when it comes to going through this process. what you're saying tonight is, we've got to be fair. It wasn't their fault. So let's let them hold their place in line by approving it anyway and just leaving it on the table for new ideas. That does open the door for schools are at capacity. We can't service schools. Now it's their fault. The roads are in bad shape. It's ACHD's fault. Let's table it. It's not their fault because that might be corrected in 3 months from now. You look at it from a generalization in that respect, that's the point I'm trying to make.
Okay. I don't think we want to approve it. We just want to give them some orderly reapplying seniority is what I'm saying.
Right. And I spoke wrong. Yeah, I'm not saying approve it. I'm just saying we withdraw our denial and just reopen it and just keep it open. The same concept applies is what I'm trying to say.
It just seems like we're trying to swim across Indian Creek instead of walking to the bridge because we are just not working with the situation due to our incapacity right now. And, you know, it's nobody's fault, so to speak, but it's not definitely not the developer's fault that we don't have the infrastructure in place. We've got a wastewater treatment plant that is, I don't know, Paul, what good for the next 10 years at today's growth, yet we don't have the capacity to get the brown stuff to the plant. So it's not development's problem. If they're willing to work with us, then they should have some seniority to come back to us when we have the capacity open. But I don't think we should approve it. Just give them a place in line so that 6 months from now, when we have the capacity, the next developer coming before us doesn't have priority over somebody today that got rejected. And I don't know if you've got a way to work that out, Bill.
Well, I think that's it. The thing is, this is a new problem. This is not something we've bumped up against before. We're finding out now that Paul is the engineer and he's really looking deep into these things, that a lot of these developments were scaled to be 3.5 residents per acre. And so the more of this R6 and R8 that comes along messes up that entire plan. And so now we're bumping into this situation that we haven't had before. So you're right. I mean, we've got a situation that it's an inability to serve at the moment, but there is they are looking into what it would take or if it's possible to get it fixed. So, and I think, I mean, you both are making good points here because it's, we can't just keep things in the hopper just because somebody can't serve and in a few weeks they might be able to, but yet sending people off to come back in a future, in a year, because now in 6 months from now we can serve it, so other people can come in, but now these people can't because they were just in there at the wrong time at the wrong place. So you're both making good points. I understand that. I don't know, Greg, have you got?
Well, the only other thing I would add is I guess kind of the difference is you keep talking about priorities. Developer A comes in 2 years ago, starts a project, has all these phases lined out. Developer B comes in, wants annexed. We're going to add all this too. Now that screws up the works that developer A can't even finish phases 2, 3, 4, and 5, let's say, because they want their share of the pipeline. And so now it puts them both in a halt. So do we give priority to the guy that's already, or gal, excuse me, the developer who's came forward and done their homework and laid it all out? Or do we bump this other applicant in line that now wants in as well, but they're not even annexed in the city or anything? So that opens another whole can of worms. How do we prioritize? We have developments that are only in phase one of 5 or 6, but we're going to allow another brand new, huge, several hundred acre development to start taking a whack at the pipeline too. So where do we draw the line there?
I'm not sure, but I think Paul has figures on development, even in different phases, already anticipated for EDUs, don't you, Paul? I mean, don't you account for each phase when they come in of the capacity of the plant and the wastewater lift stations? In your articles, you say that there's already some plan for that station. So I think it's already in the motion as to capacity. Am I wrong, Paul?
Paul, you're going to have to just come on up.
I mean, I would say to an extent, because like where this development we're talking about is already up against one that's in and developed and EDUs are there, but now they're trying to add to it, but it's not even part of the city. So, I don't know. We'll let this guy have the floor. As well, yes.
And you'll have to pull that mic down and talk closer. Chris won't get any of it.
This is Paul, city engineer. Yes and no. This is the correct answer. This has all been mapped out and planned out at 2.5 square meters per acre, not necessarily including unincorporated areas. So we kind of have a little bit of shortfall on that. We are working with an outside engineering firm to get a third party, this impressive third party.
I guess my question is, when a developer comes in with 458 homes in four phases, 100 per phase, let's say, don't you anticipate those 400 in advance for EDUs for that lift station?
There's quite a few that we've already accounted for. For example, Crimson, all of those, they're all laid out as where this, but others haven't been built yet. And yes, they are accounted for in that list.
So somebody coming in to be annexed, those EDUs that we're looking at are not accountable because they've already been accountable by prior developers on our lift stations in a certain area.
Well, as Greg was talking about ones that have already built phase 1, 2, 3, 4,
right.
Out, those are in our accounting for that. The additions, all the large ones, they're not.
But they're coming before us for permission to build, though. Are there EDUs out there floating that are unaccounted for now? Bought EDUs that are floating?
Not that I know.
Now, I'm thinking of a certain developer or contractor.
Yeah, we do stuff around.
That, has he used up all those EDUs?
No, he still has some, but they are earmarked for certain lists, for certain developments.
Okay, so they're accounted.
He has moved some of them from one development to another, historically.
But they're already accounted in those lift stations?
I believe that's correct.
Okay.
To the best of my knowledge, I believe.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Paul.
Bill, did you have something?
Well, and since Paul's on, I like to see Paul at the podium. He loves it so much. It's an opportunity to extend his presence there. Bill Gay-Gray, city attorney. In my mind, the direction we're headed, and I can't speak for the past, but the direction we're headed, and it's my advice that I don't think that it's a good idea for the council to approve final plats of subdivisions that we are unable to serve with sewer and water. And so, and the reason is because once a final plat is approved, you got a legal lot you can sell, and of course if they're sold for, and they're platted, it's for the construction of residence or commercial, whatever the development is, and people are then by them, and they're going to want to get a building permit and do all the things that they do to develop the property. So that the way to deal with this, in I think a fair and reasonable manner, and this is something you're going to deal with, I think, later here, and we've dealt with before, is if this is an area that's already annexed in the city and they file for a preliminary plat, the staff, with the comments from the Public Works Department, is going to advise you in the staff report that this preliminary plat can be served with our sewer and with our water. If so, and that's not a problem, that won't be a condition of final plat because you know you can serve it and it's not a problem. If it's an issue that we can't serve it for final plat, then that would be a condition of the approval of the preliminary plat that the Public Works Department and Director would certify that you can do, will serve on every lot that's subject to the final plat. And so they don't get a final plat until you can serve it. And so if you have preliminary plats that are subject to these conditions and you can't serve them, then they're not able to get final plats and they just wait their turn. And so that would be probably an incentive for a phase 1, 2, 3, and 4, if their will serves, to get them developed as soon as possible. But that way you know you're not approving a final plat that you can't serve. And they get the opportunity, if they're particularly in the city, to get in line for the development of their property. That's how I think, and Paul can correct me, but I think that's the direction we've headed and we have dealt with in the past, because we had a condition, I think, at the last meeting on one of the preliminary plats you approved, that they would not get a they couldn't apply for a final plat until that will serve certification was issued by Public Works.
Okay, Bill, am I allowed to make a comment at all?
I would think in this case it would be, I mean, we're talking about a different issue here. It's a reconsideration thing, so that would be my opinion that he could. Yeah. Yes, Joe.
I'm trying to look at this logically, and we seem to be at an impasse over a denial or approval bond conditions, but we keep running into this denial of a time frame. Isn't it possible that being this is, I don't want to call it our fault, but since we're the one that's really holding this up, is there any way we can put a waiver instead of a 1 year on this particular one? It seems like we could cut the waiver.
You'd have to amend the ordinance. The ordinance is pretty definitive as it stands.
Because this is a stalemate.
Well, not necessarily. We have 2-1 here, so one way or the other. Yeah, Jane, are you wanting to withdraw your request or? Oh. Okay.
You're off the hook. Paul, thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Bill.
Your wisdom is greatly appreciated.
Is that given an opportunity to have third-party engineer to help fix that problem. You can come up with solutions, but it's going to cost tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars or more to make those improvements. And you want to develop the community to pony up. So to do that, we feel like we need some lots or EDUs that we know, and we've been through this before, at this sort of treatment like phase. So that's one thing, is it's not just about us getting a permit, it's about us partnering with the city to make the thing happen. That we are very willing to do that. I believe there are other developers that are willing to do that. We talk about the model that's used for sewer at 3.51 units per acre. Yes, we are asking for some R6 and R8 zoning designations. Our density for that 97 acres is 4.07. We are just over the 3.5. And again, the 3.5 typically is used in a model for your comprehensive plan, not just for your annexation area. Because the comprehensive plan does require you to provide services, city services. That's why you add it to your comprehensive plan. So your area of impact should be modeled at that number of dwellings per acre. So even though we might ask for R6, we're not developing 6 units in that 97 acre. We're developing 4.07. So there's a good difference.
Sure, and, when, and our review is going to show that when we get to there. So if you've got a point, we need to move on.
I do. We've already agreed to the preliminary plat conditions that were added about reserves. That is because of final plat comes after the preliminary plat. We've already agreed to that. We would request that you do reconsider our denial and basically accept our request for reconsideration, but not put a date certain. And then with a direction to the staff to work with us to determine what is the best time for us to come forward with our same plat, but with conditions that the staff, public works, planning, and the developer can work out to make sure that those conditions can be met and you feel comfortable with that. We would like that. We also very respectfully request that you treat us fairly like other projects that might come in for annexation, so that that situation, again, that Mr. Cardoza mentioned, is that if we are in, not really in line, but we are working so closely with the staff, we know we need to come forward with our plat, our annexation and our plat to be considered again.
Okay, very good. Thank you. All right. I think we've hashed this out quite a bit, so if someone will make a motion, and we'll see where we end up with the vote.
Okay. Well, based on everything we heard, especially wisdom from our city engineer and our attorney, of course, I would move that we deny the reconsideration of case number 20-01AN.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to deny the reconsideration of case number 20-01AN. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
I was abstaining.
Oh, you were
abstaining? After all that discussion.
Okay, well, I guess then is two sufficient? Bill? Okay. Motion denied then. All right, item two is a public hearing and consideration to approve case numbers 19-14-AN, annexation, and 19-11-S, subdivision for the Patagonia East Lakes Ridge subdivision. Troy. Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. For the record, Troy Boone, senior planner, planning and department, 75 West 4th Street. Tonight's application for you is also a Category A annexation request, which involves multiple county parcels, and the location has been shown in the vicinity map, which is inside your packets, and is also in statutory. The applicant is WA Pacific, and they request approval for annexation and also request approval for a preliminary plat they have designed. The applicant requested to annex approximately 173.80 acres into extensive lands using three zones throughout the project. They are seeking the R8 medium density residential, which is MDR, the R6 medium density residential, and the R4 medium density residential zones. The applicant is proposing a multi-phase master plan development to be known as Patagonia East, Patagonia Lakes, and Patagonia Ridge subdivisions, collectively and known by staff as Patagonia East. The location is at the northwest, the northeast, and also the southeast corners of Hubbard Road and Locust Road. They are county parcels, and the applicant is requesting not just annexation, but a preliminary plat approval in order to subdivide this approximate 173 acres into up to 561 single-family building lots. We are also proposing 54 common lots and a 10-acre school site for the community school district. The applicant requests annexation into the community limits, applying the Category A process for the approximate 173.8 acres. Because this land, it does touch city limits on the west side of the site and is contiguous with land as it touches the city limits moving to the east and are therefore eligible for an annexation request such as tonight. The applicant has submitted an application and is seeking the three different zones for these annexing parcels. The applicant does propose to develop this master plan community for an all-age subdivision using a mix of various uses throughout the project, including multiple residential zones, which we've already discussed, a school site, multiple open spaces, including a public school with large amounts of open grounds, with public and private parks and pathways that total approximately 21.93 acres of open space, or near 16% of the site, the growth site. The applicant is proposing all public streets that will be built to CUNA and E60 standards, including curbs, gutters, and sidewalks, and including Locust Road and Hubbard Road as appropriate as they front those arterials. They must meet CUNA fire department requirements for access and all of the other city departments, including those from the engineering department. The proposed network of biking and walking pathways will help reduce vehicle fares for the residents within the subdivision as they travel through their appropriate location. With proposal of multiple zones for residential uses, public sites, a school site, public parks, staff does view, overall speaking, that this project does comply generally and conform to the future land use map designations email from the city engineer that addresses this specifically, and all these appeals. Staff has determined that the preliminary plat generally complies with the goals, the policies of Pima City, Title 5, Title 6 of the Pima City Code, the future land use map, and the future and the comprehensive plan for the city, and I will see its state statute 67-65-11 and the comprehensive plan. Staff recommends that if council does approve case numbers 19-14 Indian Annexation and 19-11S preliminary plat, the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in this memo, as well as any other additional conditions that council sees fit. Staff would like to pass out this email from the city engineer at this time, and also after the packet was submitted to the city clerk's office, there was a letter that was hand-delivered, and I would pass that out as well. It appears to be a similar, if not the same exact letter that they submitted to the city back in early July. It is from Kenneth M. and Linda R. Jantz, but it appears to be the same letter that's already in the packet. But I will pass both of them out because staff has seen them. And then just one more thing before I pass it out. There was also a recent development with the Pima School District that the developer worked with the Pima School District to solidify the plans, not only for the school, but to solidify a little bit more what the needs of the school district are. And they agreed in principle to purchase the property. However, this was proposed as a 50-50. 50% of it would be purchased, 50% of it would be donated by the developer to the school district and the community. I understand that it is now 60-40, meaning 60% donation and 40% purchase. So, and with that, I will pass these out, and if you have questions for me, I'll be happy to take them.
Troy, when you say to the school district and the community, what is there two separate uses, or are you talking about community because it's school district? Not to be picky, but.
That's a great question, Mr. Mayor. Staff mentioned community and the city and the school district just because anytime that the school district can benefit from a development cooperative, then that relieves some of the pressure from the
okay.
residents. And also the school has also agreed to, or at least in principle, they have agreed to allow part of their grounds to be used as open space by use by the public because it is a public facility.
Okay. All right, thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Troy? Okay.
Thank you, Troy.
Bill, as a matter of procedure, this actually is in the same, I believe, the same wastewater system as the issue that we have just discussed. Is there an appropriate way to allow the developer to, knowing what we just went through on the last one, I'm not sure that this one's going to go anywhere. I mean, we can go through all the motions, but I'm afraid that council's going to come up with that same decision at the end. Is there some way of bypassing all of that and giving the developer a chance to change the presentation or something? I mean, I'm okay with going through the whole motion again, but I think we're going to end up with the same issue as the last one that we just completed.
Mr. Mayor, members of City Council, Bill Gigray, City Attorney, this is a public hearing. An application has been made. You've opened the hearing. A staff report has been prepared. In my opinion, the best course is to listen to the evidence and then make your decision. I don't think you can shortcut that. And, you know, you can't direct applicants and other persons to address specifically concerns you may have so that you have the best information you need in order to make a decision. You certainly can make those requests and ask questions, and I'd encourage you to do so. But I think you have to go through the...
Okay.
You need to have a fair hearing and go through everything.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Sorry, I lost my place. Bonnie Layton? Thank you. You may have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I made my passes out just really quickly for you as reference, but I made it in.
Okay, yeah. As long as you have a copy for the clerk, too.
Then. Okay.
That'll be good. Thank you.
Threshold generally over the 0.5. We have, as I mentioned, 0.9
capacity out there. And originally, when our original Patagonia project was developed, back in 2015, there was a sewer lift station that was designed at Patagonia lift station, and it contemplated future capacity. And we received a letter from our engineer who was on the project at the time, and Floyd has copies of that for you. He's just printed out the letter, but we do have a supplemental sewer pump station calculations that were approved both by the city as well as DEQ for your review and consideration. So as I mentioned, we went through planning and zoning, and one of the conditions was to work out the school site, so we did that. Initially, we had submitted this application at the end of 2019, and we were scheduled to be heard in March, I think it was, of 2020. Since then, COVID hit, and we've been delayed, and in that time frame, this issue has arisen. But we don't believe it to be an insurmountable situation. As I mentioned, our original project, Patagonia, was very successful. And in the development of that project, and I'll defer my time to speak in further detail, but generally speaking, we had developed at that time in the original Patagonia a lift station that would serve 1,500 homes. And we built that, and the city eventually reimbursed us for 2 years of that. There would be we were building more capacity than what we were needing. And so reimbursement happened, I believe, was ahead of schedule by the city. And this fall, we're approaching by 2021. We'll be approaching about 500 units of what that lift station can fulfill with 1,500 units. And if I may offer just a quick reading for the record so that everybody has reference to what Floyd has said about it, that's what they would do.
Okay.
So the letter is from Ben Thomas, who's our engineer on the project, and it's addressed to Mr. Stevens. And it states, "Dear Paul, there appears to be some confusion regarding the design capacity of the Patagonia subdivision sewer lift station. As a design engineer, I can tell you what was constructed after being reviewed and approved by the City of Kira and the DEQ. As requested by the city engineer at the time, Gordon Law, the station was designed to initially serve 500 watts with the ability to upgrade the system in the future to serve a total of 1,500 watts. The wet well, force main, and all of the other piping and valves are currently sized to serve 1,500 watts, while the existing pumps were intended to serve only 500 watts. The sizing calculations, as approved by DEQ, are enclosed. That will be something for that I can provide to you. It's in that email. It was always anticipated that the two submersible pumps would need to be replaced with larger pumps at some point as more homes connected to the system. By simply installing larger pumps, the new starter switches this pump station to be increased to serve up to 1,500 watts. If you have any questions regarding how the station was designed, please feel free to contact me. So as I mentioned, it was our belief and intention all along that we developed this and how we developed this infrastructure, and that there was a plan in place to be able to add additional lots in the area. With that, I think that answers
Okay. Questions for Bonnie?
Mayor, if I could have the floor. Bonnie, the 21.93 acres, does that include the school, or is the school in addition to the 21.93?
That does include the school site.
So the 21.93 acres, in essence, is 11.93 open space. The other question I have is there was 31 pictures submitted. What was the purpose of the pictures?
Photos of the property, you mean? Is that what you're...
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be the site postings?
Mm-hmm. Well, not the site posting. There was 31 photographs. In my computer showing, I think, the fields and whatnot. Do you know why that was submitted? Well, I guess why I'm asking, the pictures were all dated 10/24 of 19, over a year ago. If you want to show us what it looks like, shouldn't they be current pictures, not a year old? Okay. Would have been current. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, any further questions? All right, thank you very much. All right, this is a public hearing, and I have two people signed up to testify. You can do 3 minutes. Well, who was she? So she had the 10 minutes, so you get 3.
Okay.
All right.
I'll try and do it. Some of this land as early as 2003 and have been working on this to develop ever since. Some of these parcels were auctioned at the time that we submitted the first Patagonia, and we have spent 5 years getting through ACHB on traffic studies. Since 1995, it usually isn't this difficult, but we've been a little frustrated with the process. In 2014, I first met with Gordon Locke in this After several months, we agreed it would be in the interest of my interest and the city's interest to build the lift station that's been talked about. It currently has capacity in the pumps for 500 homes. We have used approximately 300 of those, and there's other developments that have hooked on that are currently using about 50. The application that you reviewed, that you were considering the denial on before, has a phase that's approved for 60 watts as well.
The one involved in
the one that's reported or paid. Anyway, they will be accounted into that lift station. My point is, the Patagonia lift station is not at capacity. It has plenty of capacity in it. All that needs to be done to it when we get 500 homes is add two larger pumps. That's a cost of about $100,000. That was calculated when we first built it. The initial cost of the lift station and pressure lines and boring of Meridian Road for both water and sewer was well over $2 million. And we launched out in that in 2014 when the market was just barely turning around, partially in response to Troy's jabbing me for several years to build a project out here for Move Up Fire. And we have done that. I'd be happy to inform you we have crossed over the 600,000 mark with the sale of that home. We have homes in there that are ranging from 625 down to 350.
Okay, thank you. Yes. Questions for Mr. Johnson?
I have one, Mr. Johnson.
I would beg you at least a minute to explain a commitment that the city engineer, Mr. Gordon Law, gave me in 2014 when I agreed to put $2 million up front in this project.
Okay, do you want to save that for rebuttal time or?
I can do it.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
Did you have a question?
I had a question, Mr. Johnson.
Yes.
My question is, who is going to pay for the larger pumps and starter switches? Do you think the city should be imposed with that?
We pay a fee right now with every house that's built of $3,233 for an LID to KeyBank. We pay a fee for an LID for the treatment expansion. That would be the filtration that's added. The tanks are all there and everything, but as sewer increases, they have to put in the filtration system. We pay $1,092 for each house for that, and we pay $1,329 for trunk line and collection and pumps, lift station improvements.
Okay.
There should be millions of dollars sitting there to pay for those. If they're not there, we would be glad to pay them. But we did front the first cost because at that time the city had them. And Mr. Law was trying to generate income for the city and to get things going after the recession of 2008.
Have you been receiving latecomer fees on that lift station?
$1,202,000.
Okay.
And that is the total reimbursement. The rest of the cost of that was applied to our project for the capacity of those 450 homes in the category.
Okay. Can I reword my question? Who do you think should pay for the installing larger pumps and new starters? Development or the city?
It doesn't really matter. Development pays for it either way. We either pay it in fees at connection or we pay it upfront. We would just as soon pay it upfront.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Any further questions? All right, thank you. All right, this is a public hearing. I have two people that signed up to testify. Is there anybody who wishes to testify in this matter that didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay. Sherry Huber. Yeah, and then you have a copy for the clerk?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sherry.
Sherry Huber, 2601 East Hubbard Road, Hill. I want to start out, it's interesting to listen tonight, because as you'll see when you read my prepared information, part of the reason we've been frustrated with neighbors is there's been such a change in facts between agencies that haven't been consistent, facts between engineers haven't been consistent. Back within an agency haven't been consistent. So tonight it seems that we're back to consistency, but I just received a report and on 9/10 it showed something different. So I'm assuming tonight the numbers and acres they're talking about are the number of acres they're talking about. So I'm going to skip my first three items and I'm going to go to number four and start there. So in order for a school site to be included in the annexation, the number of acres needs to be 173.79 or 177.24 according to Land Solutions Survey of 12/12/19 and 6/9/20. And the reason this is so important is because in the 8/11 Planning and Zoning meeting, Troy Benning stated, without the school, the open space requirements would not be met, so there would essentially not be a project. And then additionally, in the same meeting, Bonnie Clayton, Bill Gates Pacific stated the school site, there would be 29.93 acres of open space, or 16.59%. The planning and zoning notification that I received in the mail show there will be 12.4 open space. So there are these numbers floating around, and I think Councilman Cardoza, you hit it on the nose when you deducted the 10-acre school site. And I'll get to that a little bit later. Number five, the original Patagonia is west of Locust Grove on Hubbard. The AC2 report of 10/21/14 shows 150.35 acres, all boundaries touching, 470 lots, 18 common lots. The new Patagonias are three separated neighborhoods by arterials. The acres tonight show 163.6 with 574 lots, but you change that again to 561. The difference of the original Patagonia is about 13.25 extra acres and 104 extra lots. This is a materially higher density than the original Patagonia. And for my people, I am representing the East Hubbard neighborhood, so I think I get home in 2 minutes.
No, we... Please.
Can I go ahead? Because there are several...
I can give you one. I'll give you a minute to wrap up.
Okay. The density between the north and south side of Hubbard Road is 38.5% increase. There's a different in density. The projects are divided, as I said, by arterial roads, and there is not any insurance that each parcel has adequate green space. The CUNA staff has indicated that the comprehensive plan is not something that you follow, but is a guide. Everyone living in that area east of Locust Grove has looked on the comprehensive plan, and we see that 2 to 4 units an acre are planned. This is not following your comprehensive plan that was just done in July. And to make it even worse, the developer started his development, so he had an opportunity during the comprehensive plan update to apply for a higher density east of Locust Grove, but apparently he did not. If you allow this as this development as it is planned, then you're allowing 104 more lots with only 13.25 more acres. Something's drastically wrong, inconsistent, misleading, and accurate. So I would ask that you require the developer to redesign to comply with the existing 2019 plan east of Locust Grove, and adequate green space be ensured for each parcel.
Okay.
And once you change that and open the door to a higher density, you're not going to be able to close it. And it's just come to my attention that this developer is
Thank you, ma'am.
Or has purchased another 30 to 100 acres in that same low-density okay. residential area.
Okay. Thank you. Questions for Sherry? So, I mean, it says that you're testifying in favor. Is that... I mean, are you in favor of as long as they make some changes, or
actually,
what is your...
Actually, I think the people here that I'm representing, the parties are here tonight, and I think they would say that we are not in favor, but when we had the discussion, we felt like there was probably no hope of stopping it.
Okay.
But after listening to the last testimony, it gave us...
That answers my question.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything further? Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you.
And then we have Joe Randall. If you would just state your name and address.
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
Council members, my name is Joe Randall. I live at 2210 East Hubbard Road, which is just basically surrounded. I have a farm there. I'm surrounded by these two... the proposed subdivision. Basically, I'd just like to say what I think of the Patagonia subdivision is certainly following not the same time. And my first clear day is just ask the question rather than to make testimony. When the preliminary plat was applied for, I had a question about the alignment of the road that comes out of the one on the south of this property. The road that allowed at night the light to from the car to shine in my window there. And I asked them to move the alignment about 100 feet or so it didn't directly shine in my window. But I didn't receive a reply back, and I can't tell from the picture that I got whether this actually occurred or not.
So, okay.
That was number one question. Number two, I have several, probably a quarter mile of fence that will, for my house located, that will be adjacent to this. Will there be a privacy fence put up there? I know most of your subdivisions have a privacy type fence when you develop a subdivision. I presently have a three rail polyvinyl fence, and I'd be glad to remove that because it also is in conjunction with an irrigation system. So we'll work together on that. The
That would actually come, and then it's going to depend on if it's a forced main or in your spot or whatever it is. So, but that would be something that it would be a buy-in to the sewer system. So. Well, thank you very much. And then I didn't have anybody else. Was there anybody who wished to testify in this matter that didn't sign up that would like to? Okay, thank you. Rebuttal.
First of all, if there is a road stub to your property, there's sewer and water in that road, and you can see it. And most of it is buried, so probably with sewer. When I initially was making the decision whether or not to upfront a couple million for a lift station and pressure lines down Hubbard Road to serve this part of the valley, the sewer, I was the first one to move across Meridian Road. We spent $600,000 just in Warren, because you can't cut more than you like. So anything that goes through it has a few more. I was making a choice between a parcel of land in Meridian and this parcel that we're getting. The land in Meridian had a little less upfront cost, but I felt our market potential was very good with this one, and it has turned out to be a right decision. But it was difficult to choose to spend $2,000 or $2 million upfront before anything in managed revenue to get these facilities set. I know Mr. Waugh is not currently the engineer, but at that time he said that the Anston lift station was built to handle all of this capacity. The only thing that needed to be done with it was the same as our lift station. It just needs pumps. The pressure lines down 10 mile are very adequate to handle all that sewage, and we just need to add pumps to it. So if that's all that's holding any of this sewer up, if the treatment plant has capacity, adding pumps is a very minor deal to the lift station. And we would be glad to pay for them, or other developers would. Let's just move forward. At the time, Mr. Law said that was all designed and ready to go. They just had to order the pumps at this time. I don't know if all that's been lost or where it is, but that was the comment that he made at that time. And so I went ahead, invested the money. We've had great success with Patagonia, and we would like to continue on with this part of the project. We had initially designed the lift station for 1,500 homes because it would be a third more than the original, and this land added to it, which the original Patagonia and this totals about about 1,000 homes. There were 500 for other developers on that lift station. And then the plan was for the Mason Creek collector to be built from the sewer plant up Mason Creek and take this lift station off the line. Currently, Mr. Eck is building Spring Hill, and that portion of the trunk line is being built that will get it almost to Columbia. approximately 150 yards south of the Mason. But that area is all pretty flat, and it will pick that drainage up. And at that time, all of this would then flow to the lift station that's at Linder on Mason Creek and pump to the treatment plant. The main issue that council, I think, is aware of and should be is at the time that the acting city council purchased the land that the treatment plant is on, they did not acquire from the grants easements for the front line. And I have talked to the grants a bit. I would be glad to go with the mayor and visit with them. Richard is very adamant that he doesn't farm with Matt's across his farm. But it's doable, it won't affect his pivot. And the fact of the matter is, he knew that the city would be easements across there, but for some reason, that was not negotiated.
Yeah.
I would consider someone to start working on that, and if it has to be condemned by eminent domain, the city needs that trunk line built within 5 years. And that's the real resolution, is getting off of the lift stations and letting it flow by God's grant.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions for? Okay. Question is to council. So we had the public hearing and received evidence, and so now you want to move on to debate. We can do that by motion.
Let's see.
If I do that, I still have a few questions for Paul. We can still do that in the deliberation part, right?
Yeah, because we haven't closed the public hearing. So.
Mr. Mayor, with your permission, I'd recommend that you're still receiving evidence if you're asking questions. So, I mean, you can limit the discussion. And I think you have to give the applicant and anybody an opportunity to respond to anything that you ask and the answer, but it can be limited to that. I think that's the cleanest way to do it.
Okay, I need to put Paul on the spot again. So my question is, if we are able in a joint venture with the developer or on our own to upsize Patagonia to pump to Danskin, from what I've understood here, that's not the issue. The issue would then be from Danskin to the plant. Where are we at with capacity in that aspect? Is it going to overload it, or is that acceptable to add that much more allotment to it?
Yes, we do know that
Okay. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Any other questions? Any other questions for Paul? He's getting good at it now. All right. Thanks, Paul. Okay. Further questions?
Richard, nothing? You know, looking back at our last case that came before us, we don't have any choice. We just discussed this. You can't okay a subdivision with the potential of fixing the problem if we don't know what the answer to the problem is. So if you were to okay this, I think we would be opening ourselves to litigation by the previous host.
Yes, Bill.
Is that a question?
Is that a question?
Oh, let me rephrase that. Yes, it was, Bill.
Oh, thank you. Bill Gay-Gray, city attorney, in my mind, in my opinion, whether or not you're going to annex or not annex is a matter of discretion, but you want to exercise that discretion because it is a legislative matter, not a quasi-judicial matter specifically. Issues over zoning and other permits once they're annexed are. And so I wouldn't see a lot of merit in it, although I think you have to decide, what you feel is in the best interest of the city if you felt that this was a problem and you do not want to be annexing in a certain area because of the same issues, then it may be the same reason why you would deny an annexation. But I think you treat each one as they come before you and the facts that are in front of you at this point in time in this hearing.
I think that the point that Mr. Cardozo is making is it is actually not only in the same area, it's the same system.
Well, right, and so, I mean, but I think, yeah, you're making your decision based on the evidence you have in this particular matter, and if that's a persuading fact, then it could be a persuading fact again in your decision-making.
Bill, you're saying that we have to look at it individually, not collectively, then?
Well, each case stands on its own record, yes. Unless you're taking judicial notice of certain facts, and we usually like to do that deliberately. But you have the staff report, you have the reports that have been submitted by the applicant tonight, and the other exhibits that are before you, and the information you've received at this hearing, and you can make that decision. If you determine to deny annexation, as in the past, that means the other applications for zoning as well as for preliminary plat are moot because you are not annexing, and you have no jurisdiction to issue the other permits. And that's the process we followed before.
Right. Okay. Warren?
No questions. I think that was a great question on Richard's part, and I don't have anything to add to that.
For clarification, Councilmember Larraway, you have to recuse yourself for this as well.
Okay.
Why was he appointed? He's been doing this now for months.
I know. I get it.
This is a tutoring. You talk about a neutral politician.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Johnson, if you would like to speak to the sewer situation, you can, since that was the question that was brought up.
Something has really gone amiss between the transfer from one super engineer to another. This was all figured out and in place, even the putting of why it hasn't been done, I don't know. But either all those records are lost, or, but I really feel that I'm being held at bay here on something that I've invested a lot into this over the past 4 years. And in my conversations with Paul, he has indicated that JDB should have this report to him in a month or two, at least early next year. And that all can be resolved. I'd be glad to pay for those improvements, but those can be installed as long as they were installed by September of next year. If you decided to approve this plat and we went forward as fast as we could go, we would not need sewer for any of that area until after September of 2021. And if you choose to do as you did on the last plat, it would be put me in a position of having to resubmit a year from now, go through a whole new deal with Ada County on roads, traffic studies, all of that. The traffic studies alone take about a year to get through Ada County. And you don't accept applications until they get done. So, please don't do that because of lack of sewer. The sewer will be there by the time they need it. And we'll build it. That's what it is.
Right. So I'll just say, since you called out Mr. Stevens, he came into a system that is already set up here. He did not design the system. He has nothing to do with the original design of the system. He is merely saying that there are some shortcomings and that we need to look into those further. He has already set the wheels in motion to get that done and make that happen. So he certainly does not deserve to be called out on the floor such as you did there. So Mr. Stevens is doing an outstanding job, and he's trying to do the best interest for the city, which is his job. So I'll just leave that at that. Anything further?
Mayor, if the council would turn to page 37 of 250 in their laptop, go down to 4G. It says the lift station remaining capacity is approximately a negative 264 EDU. Is that adequate, Paul, at this time?
Adequate or accurate?
Accurate, I'm sorry. Yes, that was January 21st. Based on commitment. How much of that commitment has been honored, do you know? Okay. Thank you, Paul.
I just now got to 37 and 250.
Well, your computer must be quicker than mine.
If I go too fast, man, it's going away, and I've got to start over. Okay. Further comments?
Nope. Okay. Then I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Then I would move to... Oh, hang on, my ketchup now. Excuse me. We deny case number 19-14AN and 1911S subdivision and close the public hearing.
Probably would want to just do the annexation.
Just do the annexation. Okay, then I will change my motion to just deny case number 19-14-AN.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Thank you. Somebody standing there.
Okay, well, we have a motion on the floor, so go ahead and make a quick point. Bill, matter of procedure.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, you closed it for evidence, I guess, as a procedural motion if you want to decide to table it. If you think there's a need for more information and you want to reopen the hearing for the receipt of additional evidence, that's what you're going to have to do. You would rescind the motion closing the public hearing, entertain a motion to table, and then you would direct the specific information to be provided, whatever that would be, and then you would continue the hearing for a time certain. And so that'd be the procedure you'd walk through if you were going to continue to keep the hearing open. I think that's the tenor of the request.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second on the floor for denial of the annexation. Do we have a subsequent motion? Or do we wish to carry forward with the first? I'll open that up for discussion on the motion. Okay.
Mayor, in fairness to the previous request, it doesn't seem fair that we would stop this one when we've already made a decision on the other one. I don't know what our consequences are, Bill, if we treat both of these separately since they're both different annexations.
That was kind of my attempt at the very start here, was to see if we could do something different, but we had to carry on. So, Bill, go ahead.
Oh, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Councilman Cardoza, these are two separate matters, and you have to take them up separately. They weren't joined for any purpose. So it's a matter of your discretion if there's a motion to amend the original motion, and that is to table and remand it back to staff for additional information and continued public hearing. That'll take a motion to amend the motion that's on the floor. If there is no such motion to amend that motion, then you proceed to vote on the motion that's before you. And then I think that if you proceed with that motion, I would recommend that you continue the public hearing for the direct that findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order decision of denial of annexation be prepared for your consideration at the continued hearing like you've done in the past.
Did anybody get a count on how many times he said motion? Seven?
Well, I remember an old song that said you got to know who made the motion, but I think it was that's a different song, different lyrics.
If I could, Mayor, I'd like to make a motion, you repeat it.
Well, there's a motion on the floor.
Correct.
Yeah. And so in order to change it, somebody has to move to amend the motion, and that has to have a second, and then you vote on that. And if nobody makes that motion, then the motion that's been made stands, and you vote on it. But I do think, given the motion that's been made, you should have findings of fact, conclusion of law, and order decision, and you would continue the hearing for the receipt of those and their approval.
Can the motion be rescinded?
Be up to the maker and the second. If the motion, maker of the motion wishes to rescind it and the second consents, yes, it could be off the table.
I need an audio recorder so I can remember everything you said. Okay.
So if you're gonna, are you going to stay with your original?
My original motion stands. I need to amend it to say, to include at our next meeting, provide the facts and findings and conclusion of law and order.
Right, and to continue the hearing for the receipt of those, yes.
And continue the hearing for the receipt of those.
And I'll rescind my original second and second that motion.
Okay, we have an amended motion, and second still stands. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
And that motion carries 2-1. All right. Item C, public hearing and consideration to approve case number 1908 AN, annexation for Black Rock Marketplace. Troy Buenen, planner 3.
No, I don't want any more paperwork. I got enough here.
I can hardly wait until we get hold of Chad.
Yeah.
take a number and get in line.
Actually, till things get settled down, let's just take a 5-minute recess.
Yes.
Probably get good.
Yeah, well. Chris, we're taking a 5-minute recess just so. That was a short minute. We are ready to reconvene. All right, we are on to item C, public hearing and consideration to approve case number 1908-AN for Black Rock Marketplace. Troy Union.
Mr. Mayor and Council, for the record, Troy Union, Senior Planner, 751 West 4th Street, Unit Planning and Zoning Department. The application for you tonight is also a, this is a Category 8 annexation request. It involves a county parcel and located, as shown on the vicinity map, in your package. It is on the far northwest point of Bridge Flat Road. Touches applicant proposes using the R20 high-density residential zone for a small portion of the property and the C2 area commercial zone for commercial purposes. The R20 was originally proposed to be approximately 13.22 acres. However, the applicant, discussions with city staff and also with others, they have prepared to reduce our 20 acre size, and that is in the packets. It's somewhere in 5 or 6 acres rather than 13. But that exactly is in the packets. The applicant is proposing C2, which was originally proposed to be 27.45 acres. However, that would correspondingly increase the reduction in the in the future, the applicant will propose a multi-family housing unit project within the R20 zone, and from what we can tell in the area, it looks like a good housing unit. That would be in the R20 zone, and the commercial use is within the C2, but that is also in the future as well. The applicant is submitting multiple versions of a master site plan, all staff recommendations and also guidance from the planning and zoning commission, and they were really trying as part of it that we follow the future land plan and common plan of the city. Those documents and that does identify this as an excuse that requires them to propose a mixture of uses, including different types of commercial along with other uses, including different and compatible housing options. The applicant does intend to subdivide the land in the future, not at this time, it's not part of this application. The applicant will be required at that time in the future to submit the entrance back to the bill for planning and commission and again before this bill is applied. Based on commercial uses, the applicant may need to apply for additional approvals, which may include special use permits and, of course, it would include design review for all commercial uses and for management. The applicant is hereby notified that the percentage of open space has needs to be dedicated to residents for a certain number of parking stalls and also open space, which is generated entirely off of the limits. Staff notes that there is the density justification and capacity, as stated in the staff report, and also by the city in general. And staff is correct that working some of the other conditions that are in place of other recent projects. But again, that would be something further down the line. We have a preliminary file just for annexation. This comprehensive plan does encourage a variety of all commercial types and housing types for all income levels. It requires open space and pathways, which the developer is prepared to do. Staff reviews the proposed annexation request and finds that the annexation request and zoning request are in compliance with the community code, either the state statutes, the community comprehensive plan, and also the land use map. The should be required or conditioned to work with staff, Gated Plan County Division, and the Pure Rural Fire District, and other applicable agencies to ensure performance of each agency's requirements for future applications. And I would stand for questions at this project staff.
Questions for Troy?
Troy, if I may, just a quick question for you. And I apologize, this is something I feel like I should know and don't, but that parcel of land in the comprehensive plan that we use as a guide, if I can recall, there's no residential right along the Meridian Road corridor right there. Is this something in addition to the C2, just to stick with that? Is that what that is, the R20 portion of that?
The designation on the future land use map, it actually has a parcel listed as mixed use. Mixed use does require something other than just commercial or other than just residential. And staff has worked with the applicant on staff's recommendation to remove the proposed arcane from fronting on Marine Road to back of their property so that the commercial has the entire frontage. It's actually a very small portion that does have the residential. But yes, that is a required home to meet these
definitions. Perfect. Thank you.
And I don't see in here where it talks about the reduction in R20, how much that is. You said it's in the packet, but I have no idea where
there's
I can find it.
I don't know what page it is, but in the staff report, it mentions that the proposed arcane is not included.
So did it go that way to planning and zoning? Or?
It actually got discussed and presented at planning and zoning.
Okay.
A reduction.
Okay.
Originally, right. 13.22, is it 5.01? It's between 5 and 6, so it's less than half of what was originally proposed to the CMO.
5.01 sounds fairly accurate to me.
Fairly accurate, really.
give or take a foot.
I'm almost never right if I have to.
Proposed is on.
It's not that critical as long as we got it narrowed changes. Down to 5.01. Again, I'm good. All right, thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions for Troy? Okay. Would the applicant like to present? And no one signed up to testify in this matter. Is anybody who wishes to testify who didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay, thank you. You may have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. TJ Angstrom, my address is 9472 West Bangor Court, Garden City, Idaho. I'm pleased to be here for you with Black Rock Marketplace and with Collins and Small, which I can't get in Black Rock Building. The idea here is to really, we did work with staff very intentionally to create something that would be great. This is the entrance to the town. One of the first stoplights in a very active corner, and we think it's important for us to do something right there. We do think the mixed-use designation was the correct one, but we did have to work with the fire department and staff to make sure that we have a safe development idea for the future, right? So that, and that's why we ended up reducing our multifamily from what we thought would be a large project, a three-story, 260-unit project. Now we're down to a 5-acre project that we're going to do townhomes. So they'll probably be sold separately, or they will be, in the future, they'll be platted for, every unit we have. Whether they've sold it for or sold it down on the market. As the market is today, those would be single family residences that the know that right now it's just here for annexation, but I thought about my plan because we planned it out as much as we can in advance so that it works. And I think we've done that here. I would say I'm ready for questions.
Okay. Question. Not right now. Thank you.
I'll take a last.
David, did you have something you were going to add? Or? You're just happy to be here, aren't you? Actually, I do have a question, if you wouldn't mind. So about probably the only negative thing I saw in there was that fire department didn't like that much residential abutting a major thoroughfare, and it sounds by what you had reported there that you had kind of worked through some of that with them. Did you feel better about it when it was done, or? Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay. Further questions? Only if you want to. You are kind of raining on Paul's parade, though, because he's the one that likes to get up and talk. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, for the record, please tell me if you have anybody who's been assessed at 51 West 4th Street. I did just receive a message from our economic development director, Lisa Holland, who, if you guys have any questions, she's standing by for the interviewer. I'll call the young director if you have any questions for her.
Okay. So it really wasn't you speaking at all.
No, I'm speaking.
All right. Thank you, Jason. So, yeah, if anybody wants to get any input on the commercial aspects on that, Lisa is available by phone if you want to ask any questions for her. So this one is a basically a simple annexation. There really isn't anything set in stone beyond that, other than recommendations and. And zoning, sorry, yes.
I do have one question. I'll break the silence here.
Okay.
Maybe this is a question for someone in planning and zoning that may just understand that parcel to the fullest extent, and the developer, but the fire chief really made an emphasis and a recommendation in not having any residential within a quarter mile of Meridian Road. And I'm just curious, from the standpoint of the depth of this project, how far into land does this go off Meridian Road, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, the depth of it.
Yeah. I do think that the entirety of our property would be within 15 feet from Meridian Road.
Okay.
So it actually is a requirement and excuse if you have a residential component to the, not just two different kinds of commercials. So it is the designation. That's why we work. We've managed to find a way, we think, that's why we've been working hard on our design, is just to see the feasibility of their different. Is that we do think we can take the streets, the two stub streets from over the southern street. We think that the interconnectivity is important, but they're right next to each other. We probably can just take one of those and do an L shape out of Ardell. We hired a traffic engineer and citizen engineer. They're really high quality, everything kind of expensive to design. The quality, all of you decide. You see the report. But the expense, I can see for myself. And they seem to be very knowledgeable. They have advised us when we're making changes in our design, based on their recommendation, to move from 330 feet from the Meridian Road to 440 feet, to have, and then only have a single access on Ardell instead of having two accesses. Of course, these are things that you'll see, and we can flesh up later.
Right,
but we'll show you the actual detail. But I'm just wanting you to know I've thought about the very thing you're discussing, and our idea is to have basically, you know, children from the school brothers will be able to be a public street. They'll come out to Ardell and they'll probably be a bus stop there. And that'll be the only access on Ardell. And we've divided a roadway system with a, I guess it's called a nub. I'm not sure that's an active technical group. Where there's a nub on the road that blocks traffic from going one direction so that everybody has to go out. If they come from the apartment site, they have to go out or the townhouse site to Ardell and not to Meridian Road. And otherwise, what the real risk to us is they just shut off all of our accesses on Meridian Road. We do have three deeded accesses, and we, in our site planning with staff, we do set to two. And it's fairly rare to have to use accesses to NDVDs, use the accesses to the real family before they took the land. I wouldn't have to part of taking the land for life. We're not going to use them, but they do have to use these accesses. We did also, I did want to mention that we did close on the property, and we do own the property.
And then for the record, that was T.J. Angstman again. Oh, you're fine. Sometimes I forget even what my name is. Okay, further questions?
You're out on this one too, aren't you? Get him, Richard.
He can be in on the next one, though.
I'm hoping. Don't you feel guilty? I want to play. You feel guilty when you cash your check each month?
You can kick his cane out later if you want.
We open for discussion?
Yes.
I'd like to call attention to page 4 of 159.
What page was that again, Richard? Sorry.
Okay. The staff is asking us to add the proposal 1819 there. This is an annexation. If you go to page 30 of 57, I believe, to summarize that page, Paul is saying that we're meeting capacity on Danskin. Proposal 18 and 19 looks like if it was brought up to us on every annexation with the potential of the will serve would not be issued within the time the applicant is required to record the final plat. It seems like we're back to denials. By putting this in, we've denied others, but here we're given the opportunity to proceed, waiting for the availability of the will serve. Is that the way you read it, Bill? That's kind of the way I've read those two sentences or paragraphs there. It's on page 4 of 157. Again, Paul is telling us we're meeting or exceeding capacity, yet this is an annexation, and we're being told that a will serve won't be served. Evidently, if we agree to...
Richard, we had the same ones in the last ones, too.
I didn't see those, 18 and 19, in the other ones.
Well, in the most recent one, it was proposed 15 and 16. And I don't know on the first one. I could look back, but...
Then why don't we just proceed with those proposed additions, assuming that they won't proceed until they get a permission from the director? Why are we denying some and proceeding with others?
I think, Richard, what you're looking at is those are
conditions.
That the conditions that we see, and Bill, you may interrupt me if I say this wrong. A lot of those are going to come into play after the annexation.
Right.
So we've seen those at wills in previous preliminary plat approvals. Those aren't at wills we've really seen in the annexation approval, because that comes into play after the annexation. So that's why that's where you're seeing that difference, I think. And I could be completely off on that, but that's how I made sense of the at will condition or will serve condition. Sorry.
But I guess what I'm saying is, are we going to base acceptance based on those two proposed conditions? If they were available to the others, then why do we deny? If we're given the latitude to proceed, just waiting for the will serve, I don't know if I'm making sense here. I know what I'm trying to say, but I'm not sure it's coming out right. We're given the permission to annex with the assumption that they will meet the conditions that we are setting, yet we turn down others because of capacity, and it had the same conditions. And this basically is the same thing, capacity problem. If you go to 30 of 157, get over there.
Do you have an overall page number for that? That just makes it a lot quicker to navigate.
Yeah, it's page 512.
Down at 4E, sewer flows from this development are expected to meet or exceed the capacity of the receiving sewer lift station. It is expected that the development shall provide the additional lift station capacity and infrastructure, force main capacity needed to serve the property. As you could see in my discussion with the developer Johnson, he's telling us how much he spent that the city should pay for it, but I'm sure given the expense of a development, he would pay it and end up with latecomer fees. But are we to agree to annexation with the probability of future settlement with the developer if we don't know what that developer, what the settlement's going to be? Is that making sense to you, Warren? Where if we annex this, it's on the condition that they're going to work with the city engineer. That's the way I read this. Not saying what the conditions are, so you're wide open. Who's going to pay? You know, developer's going to say, well, I'm not going to pay it. I've already paid all the damn fees. The city's made $2 million off me. And, of course, he got latecomer fees that offset his expense in that lift station to a certain degree. You know,
so
how do we okay an annexation without knowing there's not capacity?
Yeah, I'm not discrediting anything you're saying at all. In fact, I can't even really disagree with you on what you're saying, and I'm not trying to come across that way. So I really don't have a rebuttal to that in that respect. You know, there's a reason we can sit here and review and try
okay.
And say
that.
So.
I'm just wondering, yeah. Because in the past we've turned down annexations based on lack of capacity.
Right, and here, just that point alone?
Yeah, and this one here is
right,
basically saying we can work with the developer. How come that wasn't presented on the other ones? I'm not following our matrix of decision-making. So
let's take a step back real quick, and the discussions we had 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, a lot of it in those large residential communities, it did gear a lot away from the sewer capacity and onto other opportunities that we see as a city. Okay, the sewer talk was definitely the breaking point for what we discussed today in the denials. But there's a lot of other things as well in residential that actually sway that decision as well, outside of what we might see with a small commercial development. When you talk about the added traffic and the safety concerns, and you talk about the road capacity, and you talk about the traffic additions and schools and things like that, those types of things you don't see or not as relevant with the commercial. And that's why I think it's important we look at these individually and separate. From the sewer point alone, I cannot disagree with you on that, and that's honestly something that I can speak for myself. I have to dwell on over the next couple of minutes as we discuss, because I cannot disagree with you on that.
It just seems like this should be worked out before it comes to our desk, there should be an agreement to what the developer is going to do with the city engineer to solve that problem in that area, not bring it to us and say, well, here are the options. There shouldn't be any options. If we deny one, we deny all until they come with a presentation that solves the problem. That should be presented to us primary, not secondary, at another meeting or another decision making, to me anyway. So, yeah. Did you want to jump in, Troy?
Troy, yes, you may go right on ahead.
Sewer, larger, like this, larger commercial projects are able to pay for infrastructure much easier than residential are. Residential projects can. The United States just gets them into the city, but it doesn't approve their development plan. The development plan still has to come before planning and zoning. Still has to come before you. It gives them the ability to market the commercial property and try and find a larger user that would be able to help with the city's sewer challenges. Again, developers have to have a character of something that brings them willingly to be able to say, hey, look, I'm going to step up and we're going to work together. She also wanted to note that commercial helps adjust the tax base away from residential, and that typically speaking, this type of commercial uses less water and sewer than residential projects do. And the reason why they can afford a little bit more on the infrastructure side is because they're revenue generating. Residential uses, they don't need to pay for themselves. They don't generate revenue, so it's easier for them to deal with. Huma is in need of more commercial services, and she also mentions that she's working with other developers, this developer through their next use plans. And we know that these, you know, just they reduce the tax burden from the residential portion of the projects. And typically you want to see a transition from commercial to single family homes. And it sounds like what Peter Kingsman said tonight, that they're proposing to sell by more companies. So, and it's greatly reduced from what they were originally bringing in. Hopefully that settles. You do not have to live with those additional conditions. This council can remove them because it will come up at a preliminary plat public hearing just like this when that moves forward.
Thank you, Lisa.
Is it a boy or girl, Lisa?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Bill.
If I might address Councilman Cardoza's question.
Mm-hmm.
It's my recollection when you denied the annexation that was Spring Rock, and I think you followed that pretty much tonight in the FCOs that you approved. One of the big reasons for it was that the annexation was one that would not constitute an orderly development. It would contribute to urban sprawl of the community. And so the proximity and location of those particular requested annexations weighed in your discussion and your deliberation, as well as your decision about why you chose not to annex them. So it wasn't just centered on sewer capacity. That was an issue, sprawl, extension of city services out long distances and the stress that that put on them. As I understood those proceedings, and I'll stand corrected if your recollection is different, and it's in the findings. So to answer Councilman Cardoza's question, it seems to me that part of the history of why you have denied these annexations had been has their location in terms of the development and the orderly development of the community. So in regards to the matter that's before you, annexation, of course, would be to whether or not it would be in, the land, subject land, would be included within your corporate limits, and then the land use that would be allowed within that area. And, of course, conditions are like a development agreement. You're conditioning the zoning designation by whatever those conditions are that you're putting on there. With regards to infrastructure, those conditions usually come in with platting and preliminary and final plat, which is a permit they are allowed to file if they're in the city because you have jurisdiction, and even if they want to be in, some choose to do it all at once, as you've had a couple tonight. In this instance, they're not seeking the plat yet. But again, I do agree, it's my opinion that annexation is a discretionary matter. It's a legislative matter. Your part, but I did want to bring to your attention, since you asked the question, that I think that orderly development of the community and urban sprawl was a factor in your other decisions.
Okay. Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
And then I'd kind of like to tag on to what Lisa said. One of the issues we have with bringing commercial development to the city of CUNA is we don't have properties that are already annexed and zoned commercial, and that's a process that takes a while, and most of the commercial entities that are looking to build somewhere, they once they start looking, they're ready to buy. They're not ready to hang out and decide what people want to do later. So if you have these already set up and they're already zoned, and it's already something that we know we can serve at some level, those are easy. That's how you get those in. That's probably why they don't have a real set plan of what it is they're going to put there, because they don't know exactly who's going to have the interest in that. They've probably got some people on the hook maybe already, I don't know, but you know, they have to have something that's already zoned commercial before they can show it as such or sell it as such. So and that's one of the issues we've had with bringing commercial development to the city of CUNA is the lack of area that's already zoned that way and set up that way. And so I think that's the major difference in this and then what we've been seeing in the other things. So that's just my thoughts on that and what I learned from Lisa over her time of being here, even though she's taken a couple months off. If you want to go ahead and step up there yet. Thank you.
need them, is to get them teed up but not able to go until we solve it, because it's not a word problem, it's a money problem. This sewer will move downhill with money. It's amazing how it sickens it up. So we just need to get enough people that have economic interest to support upgrading these. I do believe, from what I've heard, that you have a modular system. I'm no engineer at all, it is, and certainly, when you're not an engineer, you're too level with it. Right? But if you're an engineer, you're not going to go on the limb and say what it is. But I guess what I would say is that the money will be what solves this problem, not to be words and documents and appearances. I also would say, I agree with you, Carlos, it really shouldn't be at your level. This is something that really we solve all the time on all of our projects. It's infrastructure, it's hard to work with people, but you have to. And but it comes down to the usual, which is money. When people have enough economic interest, they'll take their money off and solve their problems. I think that if we could get it, I'm not trying to criticize your denial either with the other ones, I just say that ours is one that was different because we didn't include a zoning, we only included zoning and annexation and not a preliminary plat. We're going to come back after we solve that problem. We're not going to come here again. And I certainly can't leave here today with a denial. That gives me a 12-month time. So, I mean, I would have to withdraw my application if I thought you would. I'm going to sit here and jump up like a jack in the box, I guess, if I have to. But that's where we're at. We can't wait a year. We'd rather come back. We filed this application last year, a year ago. So it's really, it is important, like the mayor said, to get the zoning before we get in front of a tenant, because if they hear the story is a year out, they are going to look and they're going to move elsewhere. You know, and my biggest fear for the community is that your commercial center goes a little bit north, and you end up with kind of your town spread out like that, with two kind of cores to your town. And I've seen it, I'm not going to name names, but you can look around and you can see places where that's happening. It has hurt the community, sense of place. And you guys have it. So I think that my real fear is that the commercial development kind of pathway to Boise or Meridian, and then we get this that whole series of strip centers in the Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Further comments?
We ready? Okay, then, if we've all cussed and discussed, I would consider to close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation. Is there any further discussion on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
Richard, what do you think?
I don't have a problem. The only thing that I might contend with Lisa is a restaurant traditionally might use up 200,000 gallons of water. If the average house uses 3,000, you're looking at about 100 or 1,000 homes in the equivalent of a good restaurant, basically. So, you know, to say it's not a burden on the system, it's definitely a burden. So my biggest problem is not with developers. It's we've got a problem. I would like to see the engineer and planning and zoning solve the problem before it comes to us. So our decision is so much easier. We don't put conditions back on them. The conditions should be already met when it comes to us here at the council. So it makes it hard for us to, or it makes it hard for me, I shouldn't speak for the other council people, it makes it hard for me to make a decision on a denial or acceptance when I don't know what's going to happen later. You know, I mean, now we've got you in the city, you've kind of got both of our testicles in your hand, you're already in the city. So, you know, I would love to see the decision-making made so much easier because every condition that needs to be met has been discussed as to who's paying for it, who's not paying for it. That way I don't have Paul coming to me saying, we need to do this and this and this in the lift station. I need $750,000 or $250,000 out of the contingency fund. Growth should be paying for itself. The city shouldn't be paying for the... anyway, I don't know if I'm making leeway with you, but that's my problem tonight on annexations. Is it... Why doesn't it just come before me, already decision made, that everything has been worked out between you, the developer, and Paul, the director, that, yeah, we've got a problem, we've settled it. We're going to increase capacity here and here. They're going to pay, I don't know, 80%. We're going to pay 20, whatever it is. It would make my job so much easier than having to throw contingency money back and forth. For growth. So I said it, and I'll stick by it.
Well, and I agree with you, and I think that this is one of those situations where we've rolled into this divot in the road, and Paul is working diligently to have that resolved so that I think you're going to see some changes within the Planning and Zoning Department and the way things work that we will actually, when things come to us, be able to put our finger on what it is exactly that we need to have done and how to get there and that type of thing. So we've just gotten ourselves into an unfortunate position right now, and I certainly do understand the frustration. So,
I do want to say I want commercial. Don't get me wrong. We need to get away from rooftops. We need to get to commercial frontage. I would love to see everything down Meridian Road be a commercial, to be honest with you. Once you start putting houses in there, we're going to have trouble with mixed. I do have one question, if I've got you on the line. Ardell. Is that going to be a right-in, right-out, or are people going to shoot across the highway?
Open the hearing. You got to open the hearing if you're going to do
okay.
That.
Okay.
Were you asking Lisa?
Yeah.
You can. It's just you've closed the hearing. You can move to open it back up again.
That's fine.
It's got to be clear what you're doing.
I'll ask somebody at Planning and Zoning, so that's fine.
I might just
add one. Thank you for your answer, though. Thank you, Bill.
Bill, thank you.
I would just add one point. With regards to infrastructure that's under the jurisdiction of the city, whether it's water or it's sewer or even irrigation, we cannot enlarge or extend that system using the funds that you already have. That has to be done through the development, and the developers have to pay for that. That's why we have latecomer fees and surcharges. Otherwise, we're in violation of some Supreme Court decisions that say your hookup fees are subject to challenge because you're using the money for general revenue and it becomes a tax rather than a fee. So the guides that we have here with staff is to try it. We do not ever recommend that. That's always a safety valve. And so... the issue with regards to the plats that you've approved, subject to conditions, which is they don't get a final plat until you can get a will serve, helps accommodate those properties that are being developed that are already in the city to have a plat, so they can have a plat, but they can't finalize a plat, they can't sell the lots, until they get a final plat. So that's a protection that you have. It was my understanding with regards to your attitude with regards to denials of annexations. You had some annexations here that were quite a ways out, quite a ways east, a little on the north. You have a city that's pretty spread out, and that part of your decision-making in the past was, one, we don't have in place infrastructure to serve that. That concerns us, and I think highways and travel was another part of that as well. And it's way out there, and we're sprawling. I think you take all these things into consideration, but there are some safety valves, even if they're annexed into the property, with regards to proprietary funds particularly. And, of course, if you want conditions in regards to how they can develop the property within a zone that you zone it, then that's where you have a development agreement that conditions those that zoning with specificity beyond what the zone has itself. So if you're not comfortable with the recommendation as it stands in the staff report and you want to consider this annexation, you can table a matter and you could ask the matter go back to staff to work out a few more details with regards to some additional conditions that you would like to see in this particular matter, and you could continue the hearing for that to be done, and then you could specify what information you wanted, and then you allow the applicant, staff, as well as the public to address those limited matters, which you've done before. Those are tools available to you.
Okay. Well, again, I think we're looking at a rezone and an annexation so that people can move forward. I don't see that we need to get into any. If we send staff back, what detail are we going to ask them for that's being asked here tonight? We're going to be talking about tonight. We're not talking about crew capacity. We're not talking about any of those things. Now, if you want to send it back for staff to look at other things, you can do so, but. I think we're looking at a simple annexation and a rezone, and that's my opinion. So wherever you want to go with that, if you want to make a motion or however you want to do this.
I guess, Warren, you didn't have anything else?
I don't.
Okay. Then I so move we approve case number 1908 AN annexation and close the public hearing.
Second. Well, we've been seconded to approve case number 1908 AN and close the public hearing. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. I guess that's all we need on that one, right? Okay. All right. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, business items. J&M Sanitation Franchise. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2020-30. An ordinance of the City Council of Puna, Idaho, repealing ordinance numbers 578, 679, and 214-04, and repealing Chapter 4 of Title 8, Puna City Code, and amending Title 8, Puna City Code, by the addition thereto of a new Chapter 4, providing a short title stating authority, establishing a solid waste collection system and service, providing for contractor franchise agreement and conditions for solid waste collection system and services, providing for contractor services, schedule and fees, establishing compulsory solid waste collection system and service used by premises owners and occupiers. Allowance personal hauling of solid recyclable waste, providing for solid waste sanitary container regulations, providing for voluntary subscription for collection of recyclable waste, prohibiting declaring unlawful identified types of solid waste from collection, defining and declaring theft of collection services as unlawful, providing that this ordinance applies to all city annexations, declaring that describing the circumstances where the placement of solid waste and recyclable waste is a public nuisance, providing for a notice to violators and declaring a continued violation as a misdemeanor, providing for a penalty for violation of Chapter 4 and Title 8, and directing the city clerk and providing an effective date.
I think we shouldn't waive three readings just to make Chad come back to two more meetings.
Second.
Well, no, at least I'm looking at you. No, I would move we waive three readings of ordinance. It's so long I have to go back. 2020-30.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance number 2020-30. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? All motion carries.
Look who got to vote. That guy. I move we approve ordinance 2020-30.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2020-30. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardozo?
This is a tough one. Okay.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes. And then I would move we approve summary publication of ordinance 2020-30.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve a summary publication of ordinance 2020-30. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Chad, thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Aren't you glad you didn't? See, if you would have actually said something, this might not have gone well.
Should have got lippy is what you should have done. Yeah.
All right. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2020-31, an ordinance of the City Council of Cuna, Idaho. Findings of history, authority, purpose, and intent in granting PJM Sanitation Incorporated a franchise for solid waste and recyclable waste collection service and authorizing the third amended and reformed franchise agreement and directing the city clerk and providing an effective date.
Again, I move we waive three readings of ordinance 2020-31.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive three readings of ordinance 2020-31. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Carry.
I move we approve ordinance 2020-31.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve ordinance 2020-31. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardozo?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes. I move we approve summary publication of ordinance 2020-31.
Second.
Motion made seconded to approve the summary publication of ordinance 2020-31. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And that motion carries. Consideration to approve resolution number R58-2020, a resolution of the City Council of Cuna, Idaho, setting forth certain findings and authorizing the mayor and city clerk to execute on behalf of the city of Cuna administrative building agreement with JNM Sanitation Incorporated and directing the city clerk and setting an effective date.
I move we approve resolution R58-2020.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve resolution R58-2020. Is there any?
Need a roll call. Bill, let me know we need a roll call.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
Motion carried. All right. Consideration to appoint Tyson Garten to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Jace Hellman. Tyson, welcome. Thank you for coming in. We hope you've enjoyed your stay.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Jace Hellman, Community Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. Really, before you tonight, to replace the fact that you stole Councilmember Laraway away from our Planning and Zoning Commission, we need to replace a spot there. Attached in your packet is Tyson's resume. Staff is fully confident in what we see in Tyson's resume, and that would make him a great fit on our Planning and Zoning Commission to help provide you guys recommendations for future projects. His term would be set to, or would be replacing Mr. Blair, Councilmember Laraway, and his term would be set to expire November 1st, 2021. And in that case, if he wishes to continue, we'd be able to reappoint him at that time. But if there are any questions, I would be happy to answer.
Okay.
For Jace, did you thank us for taking John away from you? I'm sorry.
Sorry, thank you.
Yeah. He just wanted a younger model.
And we're still wondering why we couldn't. We didn't vote on anything.
Yeah. He's what's called a drain on the treasury.
The reason it's the guys up there that smack all the talk is I'm right next to them. So
that's why they're over there.
I'm actually the one that suggested that Tyson talk to Planning and Zoning because I talked to him a bit and he's quite capable and very interested in city operations and getting involved with the city. So I felt that he would be a really good fit. I think it's planning and zoning felt the same way. So.
Tyson, you will enjoy it.
So my recommendation would be to appoint him before we get that.
I think the new guy always brings the pizza and the beer. Next council meeting.
Okay. We need a motion as to that.
Yes, please.
Okay, then I would so move we appoint Tyson Gartens to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second that.
Motion is made and second for that appointment. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you and welcome. All right, so we need to have an executive session, and we will want Mr. Gigray, Nancy Stauffer. Nancy Stauffer will be the one who will request to keep the time in a minute.
Okay, I would so move. Is that it?
Then obviously the council.
Full council. Okay, I move we adjourn to executive session pursuant to Idaho Code Section 742061 and B. With full counsel, legal staff, and Ms. Nancy Stauffer.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second.
Yep. Yes.
All those in favor, say aye. Aye. I guess you could have pulled one more.
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries.